Greetings and welcome to another episode of The Last Video Store, the show where I, Alexi Toliopoulos, talk to your favorite people about their favorite films in the style of an old school video store rental combo that includes a staff pick recommendation based on our guest's taste. And our guest on today's episode, one of the coolest, funniest, favorite people, it is Geraldine Viswanathan, who you would know from, oh my gosh, Thunderbolts, the Marvel movie. She's in that.
Blockers. I love that movie.
Isn't Blockers so funny?
It's so good.
Geraldine is such a cool, funny person. Known her for years. I met her when she was around Sydney Comedy for a brief time, kicking things off, then immediately was in Blockers and was like, oh, wow, there she goes. She's gone. But such a talented comedic star. And right after our chat, I watched her newer film called Oh Hi with Molly Gordon. Mm. And she's so funny. Her and Molly Gordon, I think, are two comedy powerhouse performers. Both excellent and great in that film. So big recommendation for Oh Hi, but she was just in town over the Christmas time. She wanted to come do the pod and talk about some movies. We have a great chat about them. And since recording this, it has finally been announced that she has joined the cast of the new Amy Poehler comedy, Dig.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see this show.
Yep, me too.
I mean,
Amy Poehler, award-winning podcaster.
Award-winning podcaster, my colleague and contemporary podcaster. But truly, Geraldine is so freaking funny and so talented. And this episode is a bloody riff storm. We were riffing it up, yucking it up this time. Can't wait for you to hear it. We're going to get into it in a second. In the meantime, pick up some tickets to my comedy festival show, VHS, Adelaide Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival, Melbourne Comedy Festival, all selling very well. Brisbane Comedy Festival just announced. So pick up tickets to that too. I would love to come share a love of film with you guys. If you're listening to this, obviously you love movies and you love me. Come see the show live. Pick up tickets in the show notes. Oh, if you stick around, I'll give you a recommendation personally as well for a movie that I think you will like. But anyway, producer M, roll the tape and get into our chat with Geraldine Viswanathan. Oh, beautiful mime work. Beautiful mime work. She did it.
Terrible producer.
Geraldine, thank you for joining me in The Last Video Store on what I might say is the hottest fucking day of the year.
We're melting
here. We're both glowing. We've got a dew about us as well.
That's right. Freshly born. Fresh out the oven.
Fresh out of the oven. Fresh into the sea. But thank you so much for joining me here. I've been dying to have you on the show.
Oh, so happy to be here.
And finally, I don't have to die. I can keep living.
Yes, you can alive.
I can alive myself. But we always kick things off by talking about DVD memories, video store memories.
Yes.
Paint the picture. Take me back in time.
Ooh, back to Newcastle, Katara style. My Blockbuster. Oh, I love that place. But I feel like I need to preface this before we
preface
dive into
away.
Anything.
We will hold on diving. We shall not dive. I'll allow you to preface, set the scene.
We preface first. I was really scared of movies for a long time.
Really? Oh, my God.
So it's very strange that I'm in the business that I'm in because
you've conquered the fear more than anyone ever has.
Yes, because I've had to kind of go inside. I've had to go to the belly of the beast to kind of confront this because I think – like, I remember my earliest memory was watching, there was this Muppets movie and Elmo lost his blanket.
Wow. Is this Elmo in Grouchland?
I think it was.
Wow. I saw that in the cinema with my dad and my dad cried.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that's fucking lame. I'm like 5 years old and my dad's crying in Elmo and Grouchland. I go, this guy's a fucking loser.
No, see, they don't even know, like, how powerful these films are.
Exactly.
Like, they have to be careful because
it's touching dads, it's traumatizing little girls.
Literally, it's too much. I think they need to back off and let Elmo live.
I think so.
So
Elmo doesn't need to go on a journey. I think that's part of the problem of that film.
Yeah, true. Just let him exist.
Let him exist vignette style as he does on TV. He shouldn't be out on an adventure.
Tableaus.
He's going to be hosting segments. We don't need to complexify Elmo.
That's so true. And he should always have his blanket. To me, that is just, what sick minds would take away his blanket like that? Freaks. Holly weird.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
And that's coming from a Hollywood insider, that's you know? It. That's the truth.
That was my first meeting. I said, no more. Enough. The blankets stay. So it meant that, like, I remember walking out of, like, the dinosaur. Do you remember that dinosaur movie?
Disney's Dinosaur.
Yeah.
I actually will never forget that film.
Really?
I think you and I have aligned really weirdly very quickly. That's a movie that means a lot to me for some reason.
Huh.
I think it's because dinosaurs are cool, if I have to really think about it. And they interact with little monkeys in it too, which I didn't think I would expect, yeah.
Oh, that's cool, right.
The dinosaur egg hatches in a monkey family and then they look after him.
Oh, that's actually beautiful.
It's beautiful. Sorry to make you tear up so early on the show.
I have to go. That's actually crazy. Yeah, I left.
So they ignited a fear within you.
Yes. And that one, Harry Potter.
That is scary, though.
That is scary.
Yeah, it's scary.
The, like, ogre thing that, like, puts the wand up his nose. I remember I was like, nah, I am out.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I, like, got into sitcoms because I was like, these are just happy families. We're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their blankets. I think, like, it's just, I don't know. It's too much. And I was actually talking to another actor about this where it is kind of like, you just are sometimes like too sensitive. Like you just go like,
you're
I
an empath,
am,
you know?
It's just like, that's happening to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was too stressful as a child. So I kind of found movies later.
Yeah.
But like at the Blockbuster, what was I getting? It was either like, yeah, cozy family style mm-hmm. or like the horniest thing you've ever seen. Like I remember I would get Center Stage a lot.
Wow. Okay.
Do you remember that film?
That's not the Julius. That's Save the Last Dance. What's Center Stage?
Oh, that one is they're in like a dance academy in New York, and it's like Zoe Saldana and.
Oh wow!
You know that?
I've never seen this one.
It's truly like it's bisexual fantasy. Wow. It's like two hot guys, two hot girls. And they're like, and Zoe's like a bad girl ballerina. And she's like, I just want to dance how I feel. And and then there's like this end of, they do this performance where they kind of like break all the rules. And there's like,
oh my God, they shouldn't be doing that.
No, but maybe they should.
Oh my God. I might have to see the movie to believe that they should be breaking the rules because I'm like a traditionalist. I believe dance should be the way it has always been. We should not be innovating in dance at all. But if they can convince me over an hour and a half, heck, I might start tearing up myself.
Yeah, you love ballet. That's like
I love
the
ballet.
Number one thing I know about
you. That's it. I mainly talk about movies because it's more palatable to people. But if I could talk about Swan Lake, that's all I want to do.
Damn.
So they break the rules.
They break the rules in a major way. And they're like doing this dance on a bed on stage.
Oh, my
God. And it's giving fuck.
God, Lord.
It suggests fun.
I think I would be watching that going, I think there might be a deeper meaning to this. There's something going on. They're dancing on a giant bed.
Well.
Or is it a regular size bed?
I think it's like maybe like a queen or a king's size bed. It's like.
In my head, the whole stage was a bed.
A whole stage
was
a bed.
And it's like they're tiny on it, like and cats or something.
Cats. That was a seminal text. Did you drive with cats?
I saw it and I wish that I was feeling a joy watching it. Instead,
what?
I was feeling immense upset.
Because
I got stuck on the scale, I would say, that the cats were, they were meant to be the size of cats, you know, watching it. Like there's things around.
This
I think
is the live action.
The live action.
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, is there an animated one?
Well, I think I got at the video store, like a recording of the live performance.
I have seen that too. And that's a little bit more transportive, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because the horniness feels more wrong.
Yeah.
They're horny because they're all in these suits and it's like, this is a really horny movie. And it's should be illegal, I think.
No. Let them be hot cats. Let them be,
wow.
Kilfs,
okay.
If you will.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, Gil's more that I would say cats I would consider, not like, but I'd consider to fuck them. But that's a beautiful journey to the film. You conquered your fear.
Yeah.
You experienced horniness watching Center Stage. Unfortunately, you experienced horniness watching Cats, the live action production of, I guess, the West End play.
I think so.
I think it's the West End version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when they came to Sydney. That was a big deal.
Was that scary?
No.
Okay.
I knew I was safe with the cats. I mean, I don't know. I think because, transporting into that world, I felt okay. I think there are scary bits, actually.
Wow.
McCavity was scary.
McCavity is scary, yeah.
And I actually called my first cat McCavity.
You are all about conquering your fears head
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
You go all the way in.
Yeah.
See, I've never conquered any of my fears. I go, you know what? That's my thing. Like, I would say my two biggest fears, claustrophobia.
Okay.
I'll never go into a small space. You know, what am I going to do? Go in a tunnel? Like, you know, people go to Vietnam on those holidays. They go, we're going down those tunnels. I go, I would kill myself. I wouldn't do it. I just can't imagine doing it. I would be crying, thinking about it. And the other one, I'm really afraid of pigeons and I wouldn't touch one of those or anything like that.
So, okay.
And you're going in, you've lived every fear. You've called your cat Mr. Mistopheles or whatever it was. McCavity.
McCavity. But, okay, whoa. So you're having nightmares in a tunnel with pigeons.
If that happened, I would be really upset. If I was placed in a Viet Cong tunnel and a pigeon flew into it with me, I think maybe I would come out stronger.
I think we have to do it.
Something, even just the suggestion that something happened inside me, a sound escaped me that I didn't expect to happen. But my God, I'm going to try and move on right now because I can't picture this
genuinely
any longer.
Stressed,
I'm getting genuinely stressed and so hot today that the sweat will come out in a more viscous liquid if I keep getting stressed out. So Geraldine, thank you for joining me in the Last Video Store. You love Blockbuster in Newcastle. Uh-huh. Big shout outs to them if they're still around. I doubt it, but shout outs to them.
R.I.P.
We're going to give you that same experience though. You're going to wander through the Last Video Store and as you're wandering, you're going to start to notice the shelves will look familiar. It's going to transport you back to that beautiful Blockbuster in Newey. And you're going to pick up three movies in your combo. One new release, two weeklies, all-time favorites. Come back, we'll chat about them. And then I will be my guru self. I will conquer any fears I've ever had and I will recommend you the perfect movie.
You are so brave.
I am. I'm really brave. Let the record show I'm brave.
New release.
Well, you've got a wonderful stack of movies. Power is emanating from them, as is empathy and emotion. And the first movie you've got, your new release film, is a film from one of my favorite filmmakers, a hero of mine.
Yep.
You know him as M. Night Shyamalan. I call him the Shy Guy.
Oh!
And you have picked up his newest film, Trap.
That's it.
Thriller.
I think this is an underappreciated film.
This was the greatest theater-going experience I've had since probably Get Out.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a packed theater, and I was with my silly ass friends and we were
silly ass friends unite. All the silly ass crew's there.
best believe they're acting silly. And I was simply cracking up. I just feel like there's so much that I love about it. I think first of all, I think nepotism is beautiful and important when brown people do it.
Yeah.
I think that that...
Let it be known, M. Night Shyamalan cast his own daughter as a pop megastar in this film.
Salika.
And I think she's fantastic in this. She's great in this film.
Lady Raven.
Mm-hmm.
It is a breakthrough.
I'm looking up Lady Raven on Spotify while I'm watching this.
No, it bangs. Mm-hmm. These are straight up bangers. And I feel like there's just the whole kind of... There are so many moments where you're just like, these are aliens. Made by aliens for aliens. It is just so, it's just bizarre. But it's so, like, the shots are so unique. And I just feel like, and Josh Hartnett is like actually giving quite a layered performance here.
I think it's a great instance of casting and characterization.
Yeah.
Because if you're not familiar with this film, the premise of this film is a dad gets tickets for him and his daughter to go see Lady Raven, mm-hmm. who is the biggest pop megastar in the world right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big stadium show. But what this actually is there's a trap that has been set to catch a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And pretty quickly, spoiler alert for this movie, I guess, I would say go see this movie.
Yeah.
But I actually think if you know the premise going in, unlike most M. Night Shyamalan films, it will not detract from your experience.
Yeah.
So pretty quickly you start to go, there's something up with this dad, Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
And Josh Hartnett is, I think, he's got such a movie star charisma and a confidence.
Yeah.
But he's such an accomplished actor that he can do this like multi-layered aspect of it. So you're rooting for him because he's a movie star and he's placed as the lead of this film.
Mm-hmm.
But he can access his darkness and pretty quickly go, something's up with this freaking dad.
Yep.
And is he being ensnared in the trap? What's he hiding?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something about that that's so exciting and so thrilling.
Yeah.
And I love the thing you said about this feels like Aliens. Because yeah. I think that this is criticism applied to M. Night Shyamalan, where they say like his characters feel unnatural or their dialogue feels unnatural. But to my mind, I guess because I really grew up watching his films, I love his films.
Mm.
There's like a style to his dialogue.
Yes, totally.
That I would say is like akin to like a Yorgos Lanthimos or something like that, where it's very writerly overwritten.
Yep.
But to the ear, I think it always sounds very stylized. And I think that if you can zone in on that shit, you'll have the best time of your life going, truly. I embrace the shy guy.
Yeah, I embrace the shy guy in a major way. Mm-hmm. He is my papa. I think it is also, it's such a, I just love that most of the movie is just like, dad, why are you being sus? Like, my dad's being sus. Like, I just know, like, it's just such a beautiful, I don't know, that he wrote about this, like, daughter, father thing. Like, I just feel like there's so much of his experience in this film of just like he cares so much about his daughter and like wants her to be okay, but he also has this passion, I guess. But like,
yeah, you can call that a passion, you know? I guess. You know, filmmaking, serial killing, it's a passion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of filmmakers would be serial killers if they couldn't make films.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like
that is why the film industry should be upheld and we should really work on, because you'll be unleashing a lot of killers out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Fond film. No, I think any M. Night joint, also Old, is one of my favorites.
I love Old, yes.
I just think he's kind of goated in like the true experience of watching a film and just being like immersed and the twists and turns. To me, I go, that's what it's all about.
I think his films are such a luxury to me because if you look at like any of his films, he's worked with some of the best cinematographers of all time, like across his career. This film is cinematography by Seombu Mukdiprom, who is the cinematographer of Challengers, Call Me By Your Name, Suspiria, Queer, but also the films of A Picture Pong, Uncle Boon Mee, Who Can Recall His Past Lives. Like, he's really worked with like some of the best like cinematographers across his entire career.
Holy shit.
I think Trap is obviously no exception, but I think he's very good at collaborating with them and crafting like genuinely unique images for each film.
Mm.
The other thing that I think is really interesting about this film is there is one character or one actor in this film that I cannot tell if it's a cameo or not, because this movie is called Trap and it's about trapping a guy who for the most part of the film is a parent.
Mm.
And in this film, starring as Dr. Josephine Grant, who is someone who's overseeing this trap, putting the trap together, is an actor called Hayley Mills. Do you know who Hayley Mills is? She's most famous for playing the original twins in the Parent Trap movie. The original Parent Trap, the Disney film.
Huh.
So I'm always like, is this intentional? What's going on here?
Whoa.
So she's trapping a parent and she's the original Parent Trapper.
Whoa.
So I think it's one of the most multi-layered films ever.
That you discovered that. That is brilliant.
I probably can't be the only guy, but thank you for saying I'm brilliant.
I need to hear him speak to that. I'm sure that was deliberate.
I hope so.
Because he's such a cinephile.
He is such a cinephile. He would know. He'd be the right age to have been growing up with Parent Trap.
Yeah, and he's probably watched it with his daughters and then been like...
Fuck, it all comes back to his relationship with the daughters.
Yes! He is the brown dad.
He is the brown dad. Yeah. My God, I love him.
I love him so much.
I always get emotional about Shyamalan because he just is one of the greats and people are mean to his movies sometimes.
Literally. Yeah. And he's prolific.
He's prolific. I think Trap is excellent. Like, I think that he's this current period that he's in from Trap, Knock at the Cabin, Old.
Yeah.
I think he's making some of his most interesting work. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's like a really great audience for it.
Mm.
I also remembered, just as we were talking about it, I remembered how I watched this movie because I missed it in the cinema. I watched it basically 1 year ago, almost exactly. Because I remembered it because I was, for the first time, I was baking a Christmas ham. I'd never done that before. And I was doing a rehearsal Christmas ham. I was like, I want to try it out. So I was like, it's going to take me like 4 hours because I'm going to keep, you know, basting it. And like,
and you threw Trap on.
And I put Trap on. So every probably half hour while watching Trap, I'd hop up, be glazing my ham, sit back down, press play, watch another 25 minutes, hop back up, hit pause, get that cherry jam that I've concocted up and then start glazing my ham again.
That is how it should be seen.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not enough film critics admit to glazing a ham while watching a movie, but I did it while watching Trap.
No one else is doing it like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to train a new generation of people out there, so I'm the first of many. So that is M. Night Shyamalan's Trap. Did you have any other final thoughts before we move on to your weekly choices?
No, I just...
Do you have a message for M. Night?
My message for M. Night...
For Minaj.
...would be, first of all, adopt me, please. Mm-hmm. And then, second of all, get me in there. Wow. We have to collab.
I think so.
That is someone that I am just so dying to meet and work with. And I'll say it. I want to glaze a ham with him.
Wow. I'll give you the recipe.
Please.
It's the Trap ham. It's a great ham. So let's move on to your weekly choices.
Weekly.
And you've been wandering the comedy section, I'd say, here today.
Oh, yes, guilty.
You've been wandering through. You picked up a couple of films, but this film that you picked up, there's one that I've been dying to talk to you about. As soon as I saw it laying on that table over here on the counter, you dropped it down.
Yeah, you were drooling.
I was drooling. Yeah. And this is a film that I hadn't seen since I actually did work in a video store.
No way.
I remember, for me, this film... Because it's like, of this year, we're talking mid-2000s comedies, mm-hmm. and the one that we're about to talk about was a real discovery. And this is a movie called Smiley Face, starring Anna Faris by Greg Araki.
Mm-hmm. Comedy.
Take it away, because this movie, I think, is so special. And I think lots of people listening or watching this may be Greg Araki fans, but maybe have not experienced this film, because I think it is a bit of an outlier in his filmography.
Yeah. I first discovered it this year, and my experience of watching it was just like, I can't believe that I'm allowed to like a movie this much. Like, I can't believe that we can, that there are movies like this. And I just was like, truly mouth agape.
Wow.
Because it's just, it captures a feeling so truly. And I mean, Anna Faris is the one.
She's a master.
A genius, and she is like just the comedic actor, I feel, and is, yeah, she is the master of that space. And I just...
Had you been a fan of her previously?
Yeah, I kind of realized that like she low-key raised me a bit.
Mm.
Like House Bunny, Scary Movie, Scary like Movie. All of it. Like she just is the most charismatic, funny, like you're just having the best time with her always.
And I think one thing that really comes through in this performance, when you're talking about like the innate qualities of an actor, which I think she possesses many of, in this film in particular, you just really care about her. That's an innate quality of her.
Yeah.
And it's all it's there in Scary Movie. It's definitely there in House Bunny. House Bunny, she's doing such a good like combination of like, you know, Marilyn Monroe and a few more like sex pot kind of style acting.
Yeah.
Here in Smiley Face, the way that I put it is this is like her unique talent where she's a master of playing big that feels subtle and playing nuance that feels heightened at the same time.
Wow.
And so it's like this really tiny needle that she threads.
Yeah.
That I don't know how conscious one can be of doing those things, but the way she does it here in this movie is just beautiful. Yeah. And this is such an interesting film because it's by an art house queer filmmaker, Greg Araki.
Yeah.
And I think it's the film that he makes right after, what's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Mysterious Skin.
Yeah, which is much.
I've been scared to watch that.
It's a very intense film.
Yeah.
And I think between those two films, he's probably best known for, oh, we've got it here in front of us, Nowhere, Apocalypse Trilogy.
Okay.
We got one of his films on set. But he's probably more known for like these stranger art house comedy queer amalgamations, explorations. Mm. And I think Mysterious Skin and then Smiley Face are weirdly his most mainstream attempts.
Yeah.
Where Mysterious Skin is like a bit more of like a prestige film in a way. Still not exactly that. But then Smiley Face almost feels like a mid-2000s mainstream comedy, but it's so weird and so whack and so funny. It's basically she plays an actor going for auditions, etc., who is a stoner but accidentally becomes far more stoned. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes that kind of often it'd be one crazy night, but it's one crazy day. She's walking around wandering during the day, and it's a journey from A to Z, and it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. It's just like – I think it is the stoner movie.
Yeah.
The fact – I mean, obviously, you know, you hit the doink and you lay down and you watch it. Mm-hmm. And you have the
Let it be known we are advocating for drug use.
Well, come on.
It's a show set in a video store. Of course we're talking about weed.
A little treat.
I think that was actually how I first saw this was like I remember walking to the video store that I was working at and I would often smoke a joint on the way to work. Oh, I was like 19, you know, I was crazy back then. Wow. Now I'm normal and grown up and cool.
You never touch that stuff.
No. And I put it on. I remember watching it at work because I was just by myself. So I just always watch comedies. No one's coming in during the day.
Mm.
And I just literally remember just leaning on the counter watching this. Being like, this is so funny. But watching it again recently, it's like, fuck, it just blew me away.
It's just so funny. I think it's just like, it's all bangers. And I just think as soon as I watched it, I just was like ravenous. And I was like, I can't wait to watch this a million more times. Obviously like the visual style, like the opening graphics, so sick. I was like, who is responsible? Who did this? And also, I mean, like, yeah, the cast. Adam Brody's there.
It's an unbelievable cast because I think this is something that will come up in this choice and the next choice that you've got here is this idea of ensemble cast. You've got Anna Faris at the lead. Then this is kind of like one of those journey type films, almost a road film where there's vignettes. And in each of those, a new person kind of pops up. You've got John Krasinski, Adam Brody, Jane Lynch, Roscoe Lee Brown. He does an iconic narration for this.
Mm.
Brian Posehn, Donny Trejo, John Cho, Carrot Top is a 3-second cameo. William Zabka from The Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, Ben Falcone, so many people Joey Coco Diaz, Jim Rash. Like, it's an unbelievable cast. Mm. Can I ask you something? Yeah. What do you think you can learn about Anna Faris as a lead comedic performer, someone that has to kind of create a character and a journey across a film? Mm. For someone like you, what can you learn from a performer like her?
I mean, so much of it is just her innate, charisma and charm. But I think, I mean, yeah, she's never like outside of the joke. Like, I think, I mean, obviously drunk acting is really hard. Mm. Stoned acting? Like, how? It's kind of one of those ones that I'm like, how did you do that?
I like what you said that she's not outside of the joke because I think that to play a character like this and playing high for a whole movie, there's like a level of commitment that needs to happen for you to be able to buy into it as well as a viewer. Yeah.
What was that?
As a viewer, you have to buy into
it
too.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, exactly. I just think, like, she's just so committed. I'm kind of, she's so underrated. Like, I mean, she's not, but I'm just like, I don't know. I'm like, she could go get your Oscar, girl. Like, where is the kind of the Emma Stone treatment? Mm. Like, she is just, she's so brilliant. And I know that I feel like I've heard you say this actually, but like dramatic acting is taking things seriously, but then like comedic acting is taking things even more seriously.
Wow, that is like one of my philosophies.
There you go.
Wow, thank you for quoting me back to me. I feel elated right now. I feel important. Feel seen? Yeah, I feel
seen.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, I've watched.
Yeah, wow.
And I think that is exactly it. And she really does that here. And it's a joke that could like wear thin quite thick, like quickly. But she just kind of, really takes you through this film. Like, she just is the most fun to hang out with. And I think that's what.
Have you explored further in like Gregor Aki's film since this?
You know,
because I think it's a really interesting entry point, this film.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I feel like, I've heard that Mysterious, like, you have to really be in like the right space to see that. So I'm waiting for that moment. But no, I have to do a deep dive.
I think the Apocalypse trilogy will be a fun one to just, I saw it a couple of years ago at a mini film festival. We just watched it all three in a row.
Yeah.
And that's that's a bit of a marathon, but I think watching them all in succession of each other, there's a lot to get out of it.
Are they all funny?
They're all funny. Like, they're dark. They're much darker than Smiley Face.
Okay.
And Smiley Face is pretty dark. But Smiley Face also has like this, I don't know how else to describe it, but I was struck by like this kind of, like, it feels like a play on like a mainstream comedy of this time. Like, have you ever seen Bubble Boy, the Jake Gyllenhaal comedy? Like, there's something about this that feels like an attempt at making something in that style, like just a mainstream 2000s comedy, but it's so weird and so interesting and over the top. Like, for this film, the scene that has often been in my mind is where Anna Faris has been not doing these auditions. She has to go in, but she's too stoned to do an audition. She goes through this audition with Jane Lynch, and it's like she plays it too small, too big, and like literally all these things. And at the end of it, she finds like this bag of weed in her. She tries to sell it to Jane Lynch, and it's like it's just such a psycho occurrence of things that happens.
Yeah.
And it's like two powerhouse comedic performers playing across from each other, playing at like just dialed up to this perfect degree to really just go at each other. And it's just so fun.
Yeah. No, it's the best. It is really it is a dream role too. Mm. Like, I think her and like Amanda Bynes, like, I feel like they just like get to let the freak flag fly, you know? And it's like a fully formed character. Like, I think there's so much care there, but it's by no means, I feel like in comedy, a lot of roles for women are kind of like, they're scared to like make any comment about women in general. So they'll be like, she's smart. She's ambitious. And I'm like, let us be idiots. Like, I think just kind of the freedom in that. And you get to see like her full range in one performance, which is so, I think it's really hard to come by. So Gregor Aki, kind of king for that.
He is kind of king for that.
Yeah.
Let it be known. That is Smiley Face. I got to say, one of the best recommendations we had on this show. So I think it's a bit underseen. In fact, if you're watching it right now in Australia, it's only available on 7+.
I saw that, yeah.
And that was how I watched it. It was on 7+.
Okay, cool.
And it had built-in ads. I could have been glazing a ham so well during this movie, just getting up whatever breaks. I want.
Yeah.
So that is Smiley Face from 2007. The other film we've got, another mid-2000s, I would say extremely important comedy drama.
A darling.
This is Little Miss Sunshine.
Drama.
A darling. This was the film that got me into movies.
Wow.
Because I remember vividly seeing it. I was like 15, I think. And I think because I could connect to Abigail Breslin's character
yeah.
so much and the whole family dynamic. It's just such a warm, like, kind, beautiful movie, but is also so honest. And I mean, I was also, you know, pretty horny for Paul Dano. And I just think that performance, Paul Dano especially, when he speaks, when he screams, when he, that his, like, arc was so impactful. And that was, I think, when I was like, I want to do that.
Wow.
Like,
had you been acting at this point?
No. I think I was like, I mean, I was always in like drama class from like kindy. Like I went to performing arts school in Nui. But I think it was always kind of comedy like that I was obsessed with. And then, but watching this, I was like, oh, there's so much more. And it just felt like such a magic trick. I mean, comedy is such a magic trick, but just kind of that arc. I think also it's such a great script. Like, I think, kind of you're just always trying to find that experience, whether it's in writing or acting, where you're just like, whoa, it just is powerful. And ever since then, I've been obsessed with Paul Dano.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he is a magnificent actor.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's like just
and like what better introduction to a world of film than this character? And the next year he does There Will Be Blood, and you go, holy shit, this guy can fucking do anything.
Literally. Just the king. It's crazy. He really is like the actor, I think, about like he is just generational talent. Mm.
I remember when this film came out, this was like, similar time in my life, I was 15 and it was when I started taking film seriously, where it's like, I'd always been a film nerd, film lover, always been like, 4 years prior to that? I was like 11 going, I love movies. But this was like the year where it's like, I think my taste had developed and caught, because I'd watched more older films, but this time I go, well, I also want to get into like the contemporary stuff, like what's happening now, kind of be across it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to see all the movies that I think are going to be the Oscar nominees for this year. Yeah. So I'm watching this, The Departed, all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. But this was the one I remember so vividly seeing in the cinema, being moved by it.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I saw it like either with my mum or by myself. Mm-hmm. So I started going, this is the year I started going to movies by myself.
Wow.
And Little Miss Sunshine, it was that script. Like it was seeing a film that is so consciously an ensemble piece.
Yeah.
And each of those characters have a unique arc.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all unique to each other and they're all individual. Like they have an individual voice each.
Yeah.
Like they don't all sound like it's written by the same guy.
Yeah.
They all have a unique voice. And taking on that arc, it's when I started appreciating road movies for the first time.
Totally.
So it literalizes the internal journey and takes it external as well.
Yep.
But I just remember just being so aligned with that script, inspired with the great Michael Arndt. And it was, once again, like a calling card, like a real script that just announced a big career. From then, he went on to write Toy Story 3. And I believe he also wrote Star Wars The Force Awakens, I think, like at least the first draft or something of that film. So he's got a really interesting filmmaking career of like where it kind of goes into this film just being like, this is a perfectly written script. How can we make this guy the mainstream script writer now? And I think Little Miss Sunshine is just an essential film in understanding the way American independent cinema was playing with tones of comedy and tones of drama together to make, you know, what's often called the dramedy. And I would say this is the dramedy.
Yeah. What year was it?
2006.
2006. Okay. Wow. So, I have picked this 2006, 2007, the best years in history.
What is it for you that takes you back to that time that makes you go, I love these movies?
I don't know.
Is it a nostalgic sense of like falling in love with stuff for the first time?
I think so. I think it was just like, wow, simpler times. And like, there's just like a, I don't know, that whole kind of era. Like I also remember I was pretty obsessed with 500 Days of Summer, which I feel like came pretty close after that too. Like just that, I don't want to say twee, but just, you know, that kind of...
it's in the ballpark of twee. Like, know, it's not quite exactly. There's something else there.
But I just, yeah, that just, I just remember that changing where I think maybe it's that feeling of a like, oh, this is allowed? Like, this exists? I don't know. I think that sometimes, I think maybe I was always a bit intimidated by movies and was like, oh, this is so, I don't know, because my dad made me watch The Matrix when I was like 8.
Wow.
And I was really scared and I was really overwhelmed by what was like, happening.
You're afraid of movies. Here's what I'm going to teach you. The whole world is fake, so enjoy movies while you can.
Literally, I was like, no, I'm not okay. So I think there's something reassuring about these movies where it's like, these are universal. You're not alone.
Wow.
And Matrix is a little like, you're alone.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're alone. You're a battery, mate. And you know what? Everything's fake. Everything you've experienced is fake. You're a fucking battery.
Yeah. No, got to The Matrix later, but at the time. So I think, yeah, these were sort of bridge movies.
Well, let's cross that bridge, mate. We've reached that point in the show where I have been thinking, I've been dreaming, I've left my body for moments at time and wandered the shelves to try and go, what is the perfect movie I can get for you?
Staff pick.
And I've been thinking about it a lot because I wanted to give you something that has like the multitudes of textures that we've talked about, but also I want to try and give you something Australian because I think that I remember I read a review for one of your films ages ago, Hala. And in that review was an Australian critic. I can't remember who it was, but they talked about we got to start calling you Our Geraldine. And I was like, wow, to get that is like that. Like, I think such a prestigious honor, you know, for some people to start saying that.
Yeah.
So I want to pick an Australian film.
Yeah.
And I want to pick a film from an Australian actor who came back to make this film in Australia.
Cool.
And this is from 1987. I think it's one of my very favorite films, one of my truly favorite filmmakers, Gillian Armstrong.
Oh.
The movie is High Tides.
Drama.
Have you seen High Tide?
No.
This is such a great film.
Is it a beach movie?
It's set in a beach or set in a beach town, much like Newcastle as well, where you grew up. I actually don't know where it was shot, but think it's somewhere along the coast of New South Wales, I think.
Okay.
I think off the top of my head. So it stars Judy Davis, one of the great actors. She plays a backup singer in an Elvis tribute act that travels around Australia doing it.
Oh,
but that's just the starting point of the film. She gets fired and stranded in a small coastal town after losing her job in the band. And she winds up in this caravan park, staying there to encounter by accident the teenage daughter she deserted following her husband's death.
What the heck?
So her teenage daughter, played by Claudia Carvin in one of her first roles.
Claudia Caravan.
Holy shit. This is a Parent Trap moment in Trap. Did you know that you're living in a caravan park? Your name's always Caravan? The great Claudia Carvin, as a teenager, one of her first roles, she's amazing in this film. She is being left with her grandmother, who is the former mother-in-law of Judy Davis' character, played also by the great Jane Adele 13 years earlier. And so it's like this kind of beautiful coming-of-age film, like, you know, Your Little Miss Sunshine, but also an ensemble where you're experiencing this person's life who has been running away for a long time and is forced to confront it. And I think the other interesting thing in this movie, it's Judy Davis, I think one of the best actors ever in Australian history from My Brilliant Career, so many other great films. But here is a great comedic take for her. Like, this film is really beautiful, really heightened in a very elegant way. Like, it's like the same thing we talk about, that performance from Anna Faris, where it is big when it needs to be and subtle when it needs to be.
Yep.
And I think this is a really moving film.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to watch this.
I think you're going to love this film. Yeah, High Tides. And I think that there's this great review by Pauline Kael for this film. She talks about, she says at the start of this review, a great many young women are likely to feel that this is the movie they've wanted to make. It's a woman's picture in the way that Stella Dallas was. It's about the mother-daughter bond. Mm. But it's a woman picture in a new way. Australian director Gillian Armstrong has a technique and assurance to put a woman's fluid, not fully articulated emotions right onto the screen. And with Judy Davis in tow, that's how you do
my
it.
My shit.
Yeah. This is a really special film, one of my very favorites.
Whoa, I can't believe I haven't heard about this. That's awesome. And I'm an absolute, I'm throbbing for the mother-daughter, you know, exploring that bond. I think that is the thing that, one of the things that I'm most fascinated by.
Maybe you watch this and then you send a DVD to M. Night and going, how about we do something like this?
Remake style. Or, okay, yeah, as a jumping off point. Not no. That's very exciting. And that actually brings me to my recommendation for you.
Wow, okay. Whoa, okay. Yep. And electricity has wafted through me right now. Usually I'm the recommender.
Yeah, no.
Recommend me.
Sit down.
I was standing this whole time. Finally, you've asked me to sit down. Thank you.
Take the load off.
The load has been taken off.
You've been walking around the room.
I've been wandering.
Making me feel crazy.
I've been crazy. Now I can calm down. I've been calmed down.
Relax. I am the captain now.
Oh, thank goodness.
And I'm saying to you, on the kind of theme of mother-daughter, there's a film that I saw last year that I was Google Gaga for.
Wow.
Called Girls Will Be Girls.
Girls Will Be Girls.
By a filmmaker, I believe it's her debut film, Shuchi Talati. And it's an Indian movie, and it's set in the kind of mountains in India, and it's at like a boarding, like a private school, and it's a teenage girl who's kind of falling in love for the first time, but her kind of really young single mom who is also becomes kind of enamored by this guy who comes into her life, and it's about like their dynamic together, and it's just like, it's so yummy and interesting, and it's another one where I was like, oh, we're allowed to do this. So I'm really curious what you think, and it's also just like funny as hell and real as hell and just so honest and very, very charming lead performance too.
Unreal. That's Girls Will Be Girls.
Girls Will Be Girls. And the mum is an incredible actor who, she was also in There Will Be, it's one of those titles that always kind of slips around. There Will Be Light.
All We Imagine Is Light.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Next time you're on the show, you watch High Tide, I'll watch Girls Will Be Girls. We'll talk about both of those.
Boom.
Deal. There we go. Deal.
Deal.
I would say shake on it, but it's so hot today. We probably shouldn't shake hands on camera.
We shouldn't be touching.
But Geraldine, thank you so much for joining me on the show. Thank you for coming to The Last Video Store. Absolute pleasure to have you in here. Can I ask, is there any movie of your filmography that you would want people to check out?
What the heck?
That they may not have seen?
Yeah, go on. I think... there's a film called Oh Hi that just dropped on Netflix that I did with my friend Molly Gordon, directed by Sophie Brooks. And it's really fun. Logan Lerman, John Reynolds. It's a rom-com. And what else? Thunderbolts is on Disney Plus.
Wow.
Start
streaming, guys.
It's kind of... Yeah, kind of just get all the streaming services.
Get all the streaming services and watch every Geraldine
movie. Is that so much to ask? Come on.
But thank you for joining us. You're going home with a beautiful stack of films. You've got Trap. You've got Smiley Face. You've got Little Miss Sunshine. You've got High Tide.
That's a good
and
time.
I've got Girls Will Be Girls.
Yes, you do.
Holy shit. People usually, they don't give me a gift on the show, so thank you very much.
That's not right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No, you're the first polite guest we've had.
The Last Video Store.
All right, so that was our chat with Jez. My God, so much fun.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Isn't she the best?
Yeah.
Just loved chatting to her. She's so freaking funny, just a joy to podcast with, a joy to comedy with. And I'll give another recommendation for Ohio. I watched it right after we had our chat here on the show.
and thought it was really funny, fresh take on the romantic comedy genre with a few fun modern twists and turns. Enjoyed it very, very much. I think her and Molly Gordon are such a beautiful team up when it comes to like modern comedy for the big screen. So, you know, I can't wait to see what they do next together as well. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, get pumped for Geraldine's new show, Dig, with Amy Poehler. Oh, God, I can't wait to see that. Made me so happy when she told me she was going to star in a show with Amy Poehler. Anyway, that's all for me this week. Keep listening to The Last Video Store. Recommend us to your friends as well. Anyone that you know loves film and loves movies but wants to go deeper and discover new films that they can watch from anywhere in the history of gosh damn time. well, it was 120 years roughly that film's been around.
Since that train came through that, oh, that gorgeous screen.
Thank you to D'Amelius. Thank you to all our forefathers in the silent film era. Go check out all that shit out, including those old-ass movies. I'll see you there.